Hi, this is Betty Long, founder and CEO of Guardian Nurses Healthcare Advocates. Welcome to Season 7 of the Lighting Your Way podcast, a season in which I continue to talk with my Guardian Nurses colleagues and hear from them about their day-to-day support of our patients and clients. Their stories are heart-wrenching, uplifting, empowering, frightening, captivating, and true. Welcome to Season 7. This week, we talk with two of our nurses on our mobile care coordinator team, Janine Fitzmaurice and Heidi Davis, to hear about their unique roles supporting the 14,000 members of the Teamsters Health and Welfare Fund of Philadelphia and vicinity. Our healthcare system is not user-friendly, but Janine and Heidi make the system work for their patients, and as you'll hear, make quite a difference both financially and clinically. Take a listen. Janine Fitzmaurice and Heidi Davis, welcome to Season 7 of the Lighting Your Way podcast. It's nice to have you.
Thank you, Betty. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. It's my it's exciting to have double dipping with two nurses on the same team. The topic of this podcast is really the nuances really of taking care of a population like yours, and we'll get to that in a little bit. The unique challenges that you have to help them and support them on their healthcare journey. So Janine and Heidi, you are our mobile care coordinator team on the Teamsters, affectionately called the Truckers, but it's officially the Teamsters Health and Welfare Fund of Philadelphia and vicinity. So Janine, being the OG on the team, why don't you explain a little bit about that fund?
Sure. So, yeah, the Teamsters Health and Welfare Fund of Philadelphia and vicinity are truckers. It's a very large fund. It's the fund office is located in Pennsauken, New Jersey. It's made up of 13 locals, has a total of 440 plus employers. And we have about 14,000 belly buttons, as we call them. So it's members and their family members, anybody who's covered under the healthcare plan.
Okay. And when you say 13 locals, you're meaning local unions, correct?
Yes, correct. Local unions.
Okay. And 400 and something odd employers. Wow, that's a lot of companies contributing to that plan. So there must be a lot of small shops, as they say.
Yeah, we have a lot of, predominantly truck drivers, but then we also have, construction workers, forklift operators. We got guys working down in the shipyards, unloading the boats, unloading cars when they come over, all kinds of different lines of work. Wow. Lots of variety.
And you function as a complex care nurse, and Heidi, you are the acute care nurse. So let me bring you into the conversation, Heidi. You are one of our newer members of our team, so welcome aboard.
Yes. Thank you.
So as the acute care nurse, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your role is on the team?
Certainly. So I get a list of members who are admitted to the hospital, and I'm able to catch folks while they're hospitalized and establish a relationship, introduce myself. Some of them we've met before, and some of them are new to the Guardian Nurses team. But then I'm able to follow up with them both by phone and in person after discharge to make sure that they have all the follow-up that they need, that their questions are answered, that they have the education they need to care for themselves and that unique health problem that landed them in the hospital, moving forward to improve their outcomes, both in the short term and sometimes long term.
And what's it like for you to head into a hospital and knock on the patient's door and enter and say, "Hi, Mr. Smith, I'm Heidi Davis. I'm with your union." Right. What's that like?
Oh, always a mystery, and that's the fun. You never know who's going to be on the other side of that door. And most people are really receptive and glad to see a face that's actually not part of the healthcare team providing the direct care in their facility, but someone rooting for them behind the scenes, advocating on their behalf, kind of on a more local level, with no real agenda except to just serve them in the best way we can and help them meet their goals and get them the best possible care and the best possible outcome. So most people are really happy to meet with me once I explain that I work for a company that has a relationship with Teamsters. You can see their body language usually softens, and they know I'm a safe person that can be trusted. I often will say right out of the gate that I don't work for the insurance company and I'm not an employee of this hospital. So they kind of know who they're speaking with. But
right.
Most people are very happy to see me.
I would imagine they were, because we all know that healthcare now is not the most, I don't want to say welcoming, but the best place to be. I guess there's a lot of moving parts, and there's not a lot of short staffing. So maybe you don't see your nurse right. as often as you might think. And also, mm-hmm. I think depending on the facility, it can be pretty scary if you're facing something that's life-threatening or life-changing. Sure. Have you in sure. your, I know you've been with us a few months. Has there been a story or has there been a case that really kind of stuck with you?
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, it's been 3 months and I've learned so much in this time. I've had the privilege of meeting dozens of patients and family members, but there's one that sticks out because it seems to have had the most heavy-hitting success, and that is a couple who reached out to me directly because they had a possible cancer diagnosis in the husband in the relationship, and they were pursuing care and imaging and treatment through a local hospital, community hospital, and had some quote-unquote unsuccessful procedures that didn't yield enough data to formulate an actual diagnosis and treatment plan. And so they reached out for some guidance on just, you know, how to move forward. Do we stay here since we've made some progress? Do we change lanes and see where we can get maybe some different team members involved to give us more of a timely treatment plan? And through the relationship that we have with other more reputable institutions, we were able to get this patient in with the chief of the division of the service line that was relevant to his health issue. So in 4 business days, got him in with the chief for an outpatient visit. 7 days later, he had an exploratory procedure. And within the next 3 weeks, he will have surgery for full and comprehensive treatment. So this was a remarkable turnaround from
Yikes.
The moment
yeah.
they reached out for help from garden aid nurses to, you know, now just being a few weeks away from a treatment.
Wow. Yeah, that's like 0 to 60 in a day,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to our colleagues on the team and talked to patients about the value of getting a second opinion. And this
right.
is yet another indication of that. I think the statistics are that when you get a second opinion, the treatment plan changes in at least 25% of the times. And, you know, if I'm the patient wanting to get a second mm-hmm. opinion, I'll take that chance.
Sure.
And see it. Because time, when you're dealing with cancer, time is critical. So kudos
That's
to you.
Right. That's right.
And she had, the wife had, you had helped the wife, or the previous
That's
nurse
right.
had helped the wife. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. We had met with the wife for some of her health concerns. This was her first time reaching out directly to us on her husband's behalf.
Okay.
She had such a good experience with the last guardian nurse. She knew who to call when they needed help right away for her husband.
Yeah, that's so cool. We talk about that with our clients, right? That when you touch one member, you touch the whole family. And in this case, because of their positive experience with the previous nurse that they remembered, right? And when you need help, I remember when many years ago, when I was one of the MCCs, and a gentleman reached out to me, and I said, so how did you hear about this? He's like, it was his wife. I apologize. It was his wife who reached out, and I said, how did you hear about it? She said, well, my husband was at the union meeting, and he never tells me anything about the union meeting, but he came home that night and handed me your card. And I was like, okay, well, how long has he been in the union? 35 years. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. And it paid off, as she said, it paid off. Yep. So Janine, you're the counterpart to Heidi. So we call your role the complex care. So Heidi's bopping in the hospitals daily, making sure people are getting good care. And then your role is a little bit different. Why don't you tell us about your role?
Sure. So as the complex care nurse, I have a little bit of a longer relationship with the patients. I'm in for the long haul. No pun intended.
how long did it take for you to figure out that joke?
So if Heidi identifies a member that has some more chronic needs, cardiac or diabetic, respiratory, we'll either transfer them to me, or sometimes I engage with them off of lab reports. But I work with the members more. I work with them with more guidance, continued support with their healthcare needs, finding them the appropriate specialists, making sure all those follow-up appointments are scheduled and taken care of, any testing, helping them with medication issues, kind of understanding their meds, how it relates to their diagnoses, and also just kind of helping them to become more independent with their healthcare and help them learn how to navigate through the system. I do a lot of education with them. I do a lot of just helping them get set up and teaching them how to use those patient portals, the MyCharts, so that they can, send quick messages to their doctors or schedule those follow-up appointments without having to sit on the phone because, they're driving or working, so they don't have the time to do that. So just helping them that way.
And, when Heidi identifies somebody, so she's in the hospital and somebody's in there for something that would be maybe cardiac related or diabetic related, she will take care of the patient, right? And then transfer to you when there's...
Yes, she will. So initially, she will start talking to them about me and my role and what I do. And if they, need that continued support and want to work with me, then we can do, we might meet the member at their home and do a one-on-one transfer, like a warm transfer of the patient. Mm-hmm. Okay. She might say to them, hey, this nurse is going to call you. And when she's done with their acute needs, they'll transfer over to me and I'll make that call to them. And you take it from there.
Betty, so we discovered a pretty perfect analogy on a team call a few weeks ago. On swim team in high school, Janine was the long distance swimmer and I was the diver. That pretty much wraps up what we do. She was the long distance go in the distance patients, and I was short burst, pretty spectacular, but not into the long term. That's more Janine's territory.
Oh, that's great. Okay. The diver and the that's gonna be the title of your book. Mm-hmm. So Janine, you work with a lot of diabetics in your work, obviously cardiac patients, pulmonary patients, but since diabetes is the pretty prevalent disease, complex disease, I know that you've had some great success with some of your patients, and you shared one of those stories with me recently. Could you share that now?
Sure. So just recently I had a diabetic patient who actually I had tried multiple times in the past to engage with, and he just wasn't ready at that time, which is okay. But he now was ready to start working with me. And so when I have, you know, a patient who's accepted a diagnosis and is ready to move forward with treatment, I got to strike while the iron's hot. So we started working with, he needed some of his medications renewed, and he was interested in getting the Dexcom G7, which I was more than happy to assist him with that. So started making calls to his doctor's office. And the one morning, just nobody was answering the phone in the doctor's office. So I was meeting another member for a doctor's appointment. And when that appointment was done, I made the decision to drive to this other patient's doctor's office. So I showed up and said to the people, you know, behind the desk, like, hey, my name's Janine. I'm here on behalf of this patient. I want to get a message back to his doctor. I have some things I need taken care of. So we were able to get that message back to his provider. And when I got home later in the day and was able to review his pharmacy claims, was able to see we had the orders in place for the meds, the Dexcom, everything was taken care of. The next 2 days later, went to the patient's home, got him all set up, got his Dexcom sensor on his arm, set him up on his apps, got him all squared away, ready to go. Did a lot of education with them that day. And then, you know, we went about our business. And 10 days later, when his sensor was due to be changed, he was a little nervous about it, a little apprehensive, was kind of scared to do it the first time. So being as these guys are truck drivers, delivery drivers, they're on the road, I got to meet them where they're at. So on the road I go, and I drove out. He was making a delivery that day. So I met him where he was working, pulled my creamsicle up to his delivery truck. And right outside the loading dock, we stood next to his truck. And, you know, I did the sensor change for him, taught him how to do it. And, you know, from then on, from 10 days later, when he was due again, I was just able to kind of talk him through it over the phone. And okay. Now he is just completely independent, doing things on his own.
That's great. Great story. Did you have a white hat on? Yeah. What? Did you have a white hat on when you drove up?
No. My sunglasses all hit. No.
Janine, you mentioned a Dexcom machine and a sensor. Can you explain for our listeners what that is, the non-clinical listeners on the podcast?
Sure. So the Dexcom is a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM. A lot of people may be familiar also with like a Freestyle Libre. Same thing. And it just continuously reads your glucose, that so you don't have to do a finger stick. 4, 5, 6 times a day. So it's just, you could just pop open your phone or look at the receiver for the Dexcom and just see what your blood sugar is at. And then the sensor part of it is the piece that is worn typically on the back of the arm. Some people might put it on their stomach, but usually it's on the back of the arm. So the sensor is what is reading the blood sugar. And that is the piece that needs to be changed every 10 days.
Okay, thanks. So this gentleman had the need to, this is the first time changing the sensor.
Yes. Yes, correct.
And was he wearing it on his arm as well?
He was wearing it on his arm.
Okay, good thing, because then I see him pulling his shirt up during the loading dock issue.
Yes.
That's a whole different visual.
Yep. So with the Dexcom, the patients can either use a receiver piece, which is, it looks like a small cell phone, and all it's doing is just reading the blood sugar numbers, or they could actually use their physical cell phones, and they can download apps onto their phone that will allow them to just see the blood sugars off of their phones. And then they can also put on a separate application, which will then, it actually can connect with their doctor's office if their doctor's office is able to do that. And so then that way the doctor can also follow their blood sugar numbers through the months and see where they're at.
I'm going to guess that the office that you stopped in at is not monitoring his blood sugar.
No.
just a guess on my part.
Unless I go down and set them up, but no, they are not.
I can't even imagine what the folks in the office thought when you appeared on site to expedite the communication. That's great. Right.
Yeah. Kind of asked me, they were like, who are you? And I was like, I'm Janine from Guardian Nurses. Like, this is what we do.
Well, I'm telling you, it sounds like the Lone Ranger, right? Who was that masked man? Who was that nurse? you know, Tonto and you were, or it's Penny and you were going off into the sunset. So you mentioned, Janine, the unique struggles, right? You have truck drivers, and Heidi, you do too, right? These are 400 and something odd employers and all sorts of different jobs. So it's really important, as Janine mentioned, to meet patients where they're at. But sometimes, you know, that can be really challenging given the fact that they're on the road or they're in the warehouse or whatever. Heidi, how do you approach the work that you do with your patients? Because I know that you're dealing with acute issues, not so much the long-term education, right, that Janine's doing, mm-hmm. but you're certainly doing your own brand of education to keep people from going back to the hospital. So what challenges do you see this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I do use a lot of automobile and engineering type analogies if describing, you know, the pathophysiology of something, or the way a body system works, or how a medication works. If I can relate it to a car or a truck, it tends to make more sense. I also have recognized that the population that we serve is really interested in getting back to work. Not everyone is as eager as these truckers to get back on the road. That is where they are their best. Many of them are, you know, legacy drivers. Their parent or grandparent was a driver as well. And so recognizing that their goal is to get back on the road and stay on the road, that can motivate or incentivize someone to maybe make a follow-up appointment, attend the follow-up appointment, take a medication, so that they can continue to do the job that they love to do.
Hmm. That's great. That's great that you use the automotive analogies. That's great. Mm-hmm. Janine, how about you? I mean, you obviously, if the gentleman that you were talking about is needing to change his sensor in the middle of the day, there you are, right, doing it. But what other challenges are you facing?
So I have found with these members, they work a lot, they work long hours, they work off shifts. So you have to get very creative in how you're going to deliver healthcare to them, how you're going to see it through. So whether it's changing times that they take meds, finding out, I always find out from the guys, you know, hey, where do you work? What's your work schedule? What works best for you for appointments? I will try my best to make things work for them and get them appointments when they're not working, if I can. But if not, I have learned to love and utilize telemedicine. I will, if I can't get these guys physically in the office, I will set them up with a telemed appointment. And I've had guys pull over on the side of the road and bang out a doctor's appointment for me. They'll call me as soon as it's done, tell me what the doctor said, what they need, you know, if they need labs scheduled or tests or they need a medication, you know, they'll give me a call and I'll take care of it from there. But if I can get the appointment done on the side of the road inside a truck, that's where I get the appointment done. So,
well, next time I pass a truck that's pulled over, I might think of,
be doing an appointment.
Right. And ladies, I think that you both are aware of the study that we did with the complex care diabetic patients that Janine worked on. I think it was for the last 3 years. And to our great joy, the study proved that Janine's work, particularly with the diabetic patients, was valuable, and that her interventions when working with patients and getting their value, their A1Cs down to normal, getting them off meds, you know, keeping the appointments with their physicians really mattered in a financial way. Kudos to you again, Janine, for really your commitment to those patients, because it proved a 7-to-1 ROI, which is pretty incredible. So
that's my partner. Way to go, Janine. That is exciting.
Yes.
To be able to quantify the results in that way and demonstrate the cost savings for every dollar spent toward the services provided at Guardian Nurses, that a company would save 7 on healthcare savings, that's outstanding. And as someone newer to the organization, conceptualizing that in my own brain was so helpful to hear those numbers and just really underscores the value of the work that's done. It's not just qualitative stories that are meaningful, that's right. valuable, but there's quantitative data, numbers that tell the story as well. I mean, you can't beat it. That's outstanding.
Yes, I concur. Heidi, you mentioned something I want to tap into before we close, but you are new, 3 months into this role. And prior to that, you worked at a large academic medical center in Philadelphia. So for you, what's the transition been like to actually see the healthcare system from, I don't want to say another point of view, because you're still a nurse, but what's it been like for you to experience the healthcare system working directly with a patient?
Mm-hmm. Nursing care without the constraints. I'm not limited to a patient assignment. I'm not limited to a unit. I'm not limited to the bureaucracy and politics of a hospital or a health system. I can show up to patients in their homes, doctor's appointments with them in the hospital, and can assess the needs that exist and do really whatever it takes to help them meet their goal on the phone, in person. I can engage the genius of the other members of the team as well. Maybe there's a question that I don't know the answer to. Every morning we have a call, and we've got, you know, about a dozen other nursing experts who are available, accessible, and able to pitch in. So for me, it's the freedom of doing what I've always wanted to do and always tried to do, but with fewer constraints and with an organization that really cares genuinely about the patients as people and for their outcomes. There's we're not focused on the financial gain. We're not focused on, you know, hospital metrics. And really, it's just been a beautiful experience to have so many of these limitations lifted and be able to show up for people when they need us the most.
Well, that was a perfect definition of Guardian Nurses. Thank you for that. And yes, you've only been here 3 months. It was, right? Great. We're going to put you on the trail. We're going to put you on the campaign trail.
I'll take it. You got snacks?
Right. That's right. That's right. I know all the moms have snacks on the team. So ladies, I want to thank you. There's so much more we could talk about, but I wanted to be mindful of the time, but to thank you both for the work that you're doing with our beloved Teamsters and those 14,000 belly buttons that Janine mentioned in the beginning. I know that there'll be great stories in the future, and we'll have you back again, but thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you,
Betty.
If you have any questions that you would like us to address in a future episode, please email us at podcast@guardiannurses.com. That email again is podcast@guardiannurses.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find the Lighting Your Way podcast on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you liked what you heard, tell a friend and leave us a review. You can learn all about Guardian Nurses Healthcare Advocates on our website, guardiannurses.com. So until next time, find some joy in your life, pet all the good doggies and kitties, and remember to tell your people that you love them. Take care.